This morning, it's got two songs, and both of them are songs of just thanking God for who He is, thanking Christ for His blood, and just thanking God for His involvement. And the reason why we are opening up with thanksgiving is because there's something very important when we understand a little bit more about the word thanks in the Word of God. And on Friday, when we were praying together, just what God was sharing, we were giving thanks that we just realized that this is still a bit empty. There's so much more that thanks actually means, and the life in that word, thanks. And so Audrey did a bit of research on that word, and it comes from two words, eucharista. You know, eu is the goodness, it means goodness, and then charista is grace, charisma, you know, the whole charisma, so it's grace. So it's thanks for the grace. And that's something deep about the word thankfulness. So whenever we see, give thanks to the Lord, and we want to thank Him, what are we doing? We are thanking God for the grace that is we are receiving from Him. This good grace, God's involvement in our lives. So now when we give thanks, there's a substance to it. We are thanking God that He's involved. We're thanking God for His grace, how He's enabling us, wherever it may be, and we're giving thanks for God. And we notice whenever Paul writes letters, basically in all of his letters except two of them, where Paul would demonstrate this, and he says over here, like I'm just going to read from 1 Corinthians, but you can look at them all. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brothers, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. And we'll see more of the meaning of that this morning. Together with all those everywhere, so it's not just the body of believers in Corinth, but it's to all the believers everywhere who called on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And then grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now straight away, what does he say? I always thank God for you because of his grace given. And he carries on, given you in Christ Jesus. Remember, it's in him that we live. So we live in the reality of all who he is. And we are exploring that. That's what, there's a purpose for grace. Grace given you in Christ Jesus, for in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed to you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. This is why we give thanks. We're thanking God because we have been enriched in every single way in His Son, Jesus Christ. We're thanking God because He has enriched us in His Son. We are in Him, and we are, by the Holy Spirit, learning more and more how to live a life in Him, this new creation of Christ, to be in Christ Jesus. We see many examples, for instance, with Paul, where he speaks about the thorn in his flesh. What does he do? He gives thanks to God because God's in grace empowers him. And that's what happens when we are thankful. God's grace strengthens us. God's grace is involved in our lives because we are getting into agreement with, we believe God, we trust you, God. And so giving thanks is a powerful, very powerful gift that God has given to us. It's part of His provision that comes in grace to strengthen us, to become strong, to be renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So grumbling takes us out of grace. Moaning takes us out of grace. Criticizing takes us out of grace. And we want to be strong in grace. Thanksgiving, for God is good, empowers us and keeps us in the flow of His grace. And as we move forwards in this amazing journey of God leading us in understanding more about His grace, we're going to find how important Thanksgiving is going to play in our lives. Because what we see is like, wow, but we forget that God is, Christ is the King of Kings. We forget that God is the God of all. We forget that God has a purpose and He's totally involved in the lives and the history of mankind. And in the Thanksgiving, we start to find a grace that gives us the strength to be able to live as children of God in the chaos and when everything's shaking. So it's going to play a big role in our lives to continually practice giving thanks to God in all situations. So when Paul writes in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and he goes, with all your prayers and requests, with thanksgiving, present them to God. Then the peace of God, grace. See, again, we see the reality of grace flowing, the peace of God guarding the hearts and the minds of us who believe. And so we're going to need that. And some of us have lived in that lifestyle a long time, and some of us are learning about it again, being reminded about Thanksgiving, but it's a powerful weapon. So when you say grace at night for the meal, God has provided, and you're thanking God, God, you provided through your Son Jesus, and we just received your amazing way, because we could be retrenched, we could be this, we could be that. You have provided for us, and it's that Thanksgiving. So we're thanking God for the goodness of His grace in our lives. Now, this morning, what I want to do, again, is just to recap a little bit, because we're just building on from where we left off last Sunday. And we're focusing on that John chapter 1, when we are reading about Jesus Christ being the Word, He's being the light, He's being the life. He came into the world, but the world didn't really understand Him. And therefore, some received Him, some rejected Him, etc. And the scripture that we're looking at, the Word became flesh. And that is why it's so important, you know, when we're speaking about grace, we have to realize that grace became flesh as well, to be able to understand a little bit more of the reality of what Christ has revealed to you and I. So the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is going to be a big part, that Christ has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, John testifies concerning Him. He cries out saying, this was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. So we notice here that John is writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the revelation that he has received concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we see here that Jesus is the one who has come from the Father. So we see here that Jesus is truth, and we see grace. So we see that Jesus has come to reveal the truth about the Father's grace to mankind. So here's the Word. So Jesus is the one that we look to be able to know and to be able to experience and to be able to enter into the reality of the fullness of the Father's grace that has come through Jesus Christ. So any definition of what grace is that bypasses Jesus, we've missed it. Okay, so we've got to start to realize as we grow in this grace, grace has a purpose. This grace is a revelation of God the Father. It reveals Him. It takes us into the life of the Father. It takes us into what this eternal, this God-quality life is all about. It takes us into understanding the purpose of why He has given us eternal life. And we start to walk in this. So for all of us over here this morning, this is not just for one or two people. All of us have been enriched in every way. All of us have been given. None of us lack any spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Paul in Ephesians 1 verse 3, he Blessed be God. Again, the grace of God be you, and then into the thankful. I just praise God. Blessed be to God, because you have been enriched in every way in Christ Jesus, with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. That's all of the believers in Christ Jesus. So we need to know that. We need to get that. That's a reality. Holy Spirit, you are now opening up what this grace is all about. And I will ask you, lead me into. So for each one of us, we will find in the journey concerning your God-given mandate, why you're living, why you're existing, you will start to discover, here's a grace that's empowering me to be able to be and to be able to do and to be able to live a life that Christ has redeemed me from. Now, how do I grow in this? See, we have to take responsibility of the grace that God has given to us. We've got to take personal responsibility of we've entered into this grace. We have received this grace. How do I use this grace? Okay. So again, we see in a lot of the teachings of Jesus, and particularly in the parables where he calls and he wants to give the different abilities. He wants to give money, in a sense, to the different folk over there, but according to their ability. So God gives them grace according to their ability, and now they need to use it. God has given us abilities, and he gives us grace. Now we learn how to use that grace. And we don't know, because, you know, in an understanding more and more of timelines where we are, we don't know that we speak about the 1,000 reign of Christ Jesus. We don't know in that parable of the talents whether, as we are now faithful with the ability, the talents, the grace that God has given to us, for 1947, for instance, we don't know if that parable, when that 1,000-year reign, where he will say, now you've been faithful with one, now I'm giving you 10 cities to govern in the 1,000-year reign. We don't know. The lesson is, what he has given, we use it, we practice it, we grow in it, we live it out. So for some, it may be evangelism. Live it out. Grow in that. For some, it may be teaching. Grow in that. For some, it may be serving people. Grow in that. For some, it may be just in particular areas of education or sports, whatever in it. Grow in the grace and the abilities that God has given. Take responsibility. And the Holy Spirit will start to share with us as we grow, as we take hold of it. He will give more. We take hold of it. We practice it. He gives more. And that's how we're going. We as a family here this morning, we have to be honest when we've realized we have outgrown the current structures. We've outgrown the traditional church. We've outgrown these things. It doesn't fit us anymore. So we need to come as a family of God, and we need to say, Lord God, this, you've given us a grace. You've planted us here in a community. We want to learn how to operate more in this grace you've given us. And that's the time. That's why I encourage you to pray and seek God. Lord, share with all of us the grace that you've given to us, so that together we can start to grow, so that your fullness can be revealed through us as the body of Christ. Okay, we're taking responsibility of why we're in a town. And it's not just because it's lacquer or whatever it may be. There's a divine purpose. Grace has a purpose. And we will see about that now as we continue in this. So it's a time where we're seeking God. Show us. You've given us abilities. You've given us grace. You've empowered us. You've given us anointing. We want that flow to flow out of us more than living waters to flow out of us. Lead us now. Give us the understanding, the wisdom as we go forwards in this matter. And we will say yes to Jesus, no matter what it means. Yes to Lord Jesus Christ, because we follow him, and we will just be obedient to him, and we'll have the wisdom on how to go about what needs to happen here as a family of God. So here we see the fullness of grace and truth has been made known through Jesus Christ. And this is why no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Only Jesus can reveal what grace is all about. Only him. And that's why we are learning by the Holy Spirit what grace is all about at this time. Now, last week, we had a look quickly, and I want to just go through some of the scriptures here in Exodus 19, where we see here when God's about to give the Ten Commandments. But it's interesting because we need to follow the divine plan of God. We need to follow the purpose of God throughout history and why He calls, why He sets people apart, why did He set a nation apart, Israel. So here, God has taken them out of Egypt. Remember, He had given a promise to Adam and Eve about a son that's going to crush Satan's head. He has given a promise to Abraham. He's made a covenant with Abraham that through his seed, all nations are going to be blessed, referring to Christ Jesus. And here now we see the outworking all the time. There's a purpose. There's a purpose of God's calling. There's a purpose of God's involvement in the lives of people. And here we read over here where God calls them at Mount Sinai. And He says there, "Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.' These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." And then Moses goes back and he starts to prepare the people to be able to receive the commandments of God. So in chapter 20 now, but notice here that there's a condition. If you, I've called you out, I have all the nations, I've set you apart, and I've set you apart for a purpose. My grace is upon you for a purpose, because you're going to be my treasured possession. You're going to be my kingdom and priests here on earth. You're going to be the one that's going to reveal to the nations how I relate with you, and how you relate with me, and how you relate with one another, and how you relate with the Gentiles, the pagans, etc., the other nations. So we see relationships, because covenant is about relationships, the terms and conditions of how relationships are going to function from that moment onwards. And so here God is giving them an amazing reality that if you obey my commandments, so here we see there's the obedience part of it, okay, and that plays an important part in understanding the reality of grace and truth coming through Christ because of His obedience in fulfilling this. And once again, this mandate hasn't stopped. And this is why we need to follow the theme of the purpose of grace that you and I have entered into. And so, now if you obey me, then out of all nations you'll be my treasured possession. We see with the body of Christ, we've been called out. We are His treasured possession. Okay, it hasn't changed. So in the Ten Commandments, and God spoke to all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." So we're seeing the action of God, the involvement of God in redeeming and bringing out people that are were in slavery, to come out of that and to continue now to fulfill God's purpose, so that through the nation Israel, a Messiah, the Savior, the seed that will crush Satan's head, will be born and come on the earth. So through this whole journey, you are a royal nation, a kingdom of priests, but now our time's coming, and the prophets start to prophesy, there will be a king that comes from the throne of David, who will rule with an everlasting rule. Okay, will establish in righteousness and justice, He will establish it. And so it's pointing to Jesus Christ. And then these Ten Commandments, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt." Same today. He has redeemed us from being enslaved to sin and all that goes with that. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their fathers to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, but show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter or your maidservant or manservant, nor your animals or the aliens who work with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false witnesses against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so we see the commands that God gives to them. And in I'm just going to quickly read in Leviticus 19, because in Leviticus 19, the Lord God said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly. This is now again giving the Ten Commandments. Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then he carries on. You must respect your mother and father. And throughout that there, we start to see once again the commandments are giving. So God says to Israel, I'm setting you apart and I'm giving you the code of conduct. I'm giving you the way you're going to live that's going to demonstrate that you belong to me and that you're going to be my people, my precious people, and how as you obey me, you're going to see how I'm going to bless you. But if you disobey me, I'm going to release this calamity upon you, the curses. And that will be an evidence so that nations can see the reality of my involvement in your life. And so we see that taking place. But it's also the other, not only the Ten Commandments, but the other commandments all about how Israel was to relate. So it's relationships, as I said early on. How are they going to relate with one another? How are they going to relate with their servants, etc., the slaves, and the other nations? And so there's terms and conditions. How are they going to relate with God when they have sinned? The provision of God. So you've got the sacrificial whole system and the worship system all inside these laws that God gives to them. And then he says, be holy, for I am holy, as we looked at last week. And we read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where Jesus again is speaking about just the thoughts. If we just think like that, we've committed adultery. If we just think like that, we've murdered. If we just think like that, we've blasphemed. If we just our thoughts already condemn us and let us know that we have disobeyed the laws of God, and therefore we are guilty. And so he's highlighting that you wanting to, speaking to people that's following the law, you wanting to follow the law, let me take it to a higher level. Just start to think about it, and you've already broken the law. And so the law demands you to be perfect, but the law cannot make you perfect. And that was the message of the law. So we read there in Romans 2, verse 14 through to verse 16, I'm sharing this so that we can be thankful for the grace of God, to understand what Christ has done for us, that we can grow and receive and be strengthened in his grace, in the provision of God that comes in and through his Son, Jesus Christ. So just to understand the reality of the law. And we saw over there that even though they don't have the law of Moses, it demonstrates that the requirements of the law are woven into their hearts. This is all of mankind. They know what is right and they know what is wrong, for their conscience validates this law in their heart. Their thoughts correct them in one instance and condemn them in another. So this judgment will be revealed on the day when God, through Jesus, the Messiah, judges the hidden secrets of people's hearts, and their response to my gospel will be the standard of judgment used in that day. That's going to be quite profound. So when you and I are communicating the message of grace, the gospel of grace, and people are rejecting that, it seems from the scripture that on the day of judgment, they're going to say, John preached the message of grace. Why did you reject it? You heard it. Why did you reject it? And that's what it seems to be suggesting here. they heard what Paul was preaching and they rejected it, and therefore that's going to be the standard. Why did you not receive? Why did you reject the grace that comes through Jesus Christ? And that's why we've got to make sure that our gospel, our message, the good news, is full of the truth and grace that comes through Jesus Christ. And it's not full of laws and regulations on church practices and all that kind of stuff, but it's about Jesus Christ, how to live in Him, how to operate in Him, how to grow up in Him, how can He rule in our lives and through our lives. That's our message of grace that is crucial. And that's why Paul, as we said last week, Paul's message is full of sharing about the law, but now this is the way that God has provided in Christ. This is what's taken place. So in Romans 3, verse 19, verse 20, we looked at, now we realize that everything the law says is addressed to those who are under its authority. Okay? This is for two reasons, so that every excuse will be silenced with no boasting of innocence, and so that the entire world will be held accountable to God's standards. For by the merit of observing the law, no one earns a status of being declared righteous before God, for it is the law that fully exposes and unmasks the reality of sin. And that is the message that we looked at, what the law communicates to the world. Okay, it exposes that's God's standard, and we all fall short of God's standard. None of us can keep that. We all fall short. None of us are perfect. God needed to send the perfect one. God needed to send the righteous one, His Son Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3 verse 23, so until the revelation of faith for salvation was released, in Romans 1 verse 17, or look at verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. For in this good news, in this gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. That is by faith that we receive. So this is what we're speaking about. The time has now come where God has now sent His Son, Jesus Christ. The righteousness from God has been now made known to you, full of grace and full of truth. Now, that's the standard. So until the revelation of faith of salvation was released, the law was a jailer holding us as prisoners under lock and key until the faith of which was destined to be revealed would set us free. The law was our guardian until Christ came so that we would be saved by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian of the law. You have all become true children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith immersed into you, and now you are covered and clothed with His life. And we no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we are all one through our union with Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are now Abram's child and true heir of all His blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham. And that we see in Galatians 3. So once again, us now, before we met Christ, our consciences told us, oopsie, we're not perfect. Okay, we can suppress our consciences, we can harden, we can sear our consciences at mankind's. And part of God's judgment is He hands us over to our sins. And then we may think, wow, this is wonderful, but it's death. Okay, sin is death all the time. And it's part of that way that God deals with mankind. So we've received, and now Christ became a curse on the cross. So now in Christ Jesus, all our disobedience, Christ now has dealt with that. He has condemned that in us. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those who believe. Why? Because we see there that Christ Himself, He condemned sin that was in our sinful nature. He put that to death because the law could not do its work because it was against the sinful nature. The sinful nature laughed at the law of God, laughed at the conscience of God, and it would not submit because sin ruled in our lives. Okay, we were enslaved. We were in the Egypt. Sin was our master. And so we needed someone to come and with the blood redeem us and take us out of that king sin that was ruling in our lives, so that once again we could come under the true King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So we had a look at that. And one last scripture quickly before we just do a brief introduction to the next phase. And we looked at Hebrews. And here in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 18, we saw over there that if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? And then it starts to speak about this reality. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So, thankfulness, thanking God, starting to understand God, that no matter how hard I tried, no matter how hard mankind's tried, we can bring laws, we can try and change the nature of people, but they're going to fall short of your glory. Only answer is your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you've given us a grace. How do we live in you being the answer for the nation? So we're starting to get the strategies and insights, how to pray in the name of Jesus, how to love in the name of Jesus, how to operate in our gifts in the name of Jesus. God's provision for mankind. Because nothing else makes us perfect in His sight. It's only the finished work of Christ Jesus. So today I want us to quickly go to Revelations chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, John is sharing something profound. And I'm going to just read here from verse 4. To the seven churches, to the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And as we looked at last time, many times we think that the God of the Old Testament is not the same God of the New Testament. No, He is, He was, and He is to come. God is God. And so we see God's involvement in the Old Testament. He has not changed. He's still the same God. There's still a judgment. We all will face the throne, of judging throne one day. No mankind is going to escape. God is still God. He still judges nations today. He still judges people today. He has not changed. Okay, so those outside of Christ experience a judgment. Those inside Christ also experience, and the Hebrew writer speaks about God's discipline. And that discipline is to train us in the life of holiness so that we can have a harvest of holiness. Okay. So grace and peace to you from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and ruler of all the kings of the earth. To Him who continually loves us and has freed us, has loosed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So God set aside Israel as a nation, as a kingdom and priest to serve God. See, they were delivered. Again, we see you and I, we have been set apart. We have been redeemed. We've been taken out of slavery of sin. Why? That God has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve the living God. So here we see that we are continually loved by our God, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. And here we see that He has freed us, He has loosed us from our sins. So it's not just the power of sin, but also from the guilty conscience. Only the blood cleanses us, so we've been freed from that guilty conscience. Okay, so it's a whole package that we're speaking about here, what the blood of Jesus has done. And that's why we give thanks to Him for His blood, as we sang this morning. And has made us to be. He has made us to be. It's not that He will be making us, He has made us. And that word made means from the very beginning right through to the act of implementation and the ongoing activity of it. He, our Lord Jesus, has made us into this kingdom and priest. Why? to serve our God. Grace has a purpose, and that grace empowers you and I to serve our living God. Israel was called out to be a kingdom of priests, to be able to serve the living God, so that nations could see. Grace is not for our pleasure, to make us rich or just wow, enjoy life. Grace empowers us to be able to live a life in Christ Jesus so that the Father is glorified. That's crucial. That changes the mindset of grace. That will not, you know, when people say, oh, but grace, you know, you're just going to go and sin. They don't understand grace, because grace empowers us to serve the living God. Sin does not serve the living God. We've been set free by the power of sin. Grace is God's provision in setting us free from the power of sin. So grace enables us to serve the living God. It's not serving ourselves, it's to serve our God. That's important. That's the purpose of grace that God wants us to get established in at this very present time. So we see here in chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8, where day and night, this is the throne of God now and now, Jesus Christ, and day and night they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. Yeah, once again we see God, God is an eternal God, and He has not changed. He is still a holy God. For you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. In Revelation chapter 5, again we see here the Lamb of God that was slain. And again we see the throne room, and we see all the worship taking place. And then there's this new song that is taking place. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seal, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God. Israel was taken out of captivity to be God's possession, His treasure. They were redeemed for a purpose. God redeemed them. You and I, through the blood of Christ, we've been redeemed for a purpose. We belong to Him. Okay? Grace empowers us to be able to live a life that belongs to Him. So grace empowers us to be able to say, Father in heaven, our Father, our Father. Oh, that's such a big, deep word. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Deep, deep, deep word that your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth. Grace now empowers us to be able to see that become a reality here through our lives. First of all, within us. So this kingdom of God, this grace is empowering us to be able to say no to sin, empowering us to be able to renew our mind, empowering us to be able to live a life that glorifies God, empowering us to be free from self-centeredness. This is the power of the grace operating within us as children of God, to have a new way of thinking, a new mindset concerning the things of God. And carries on, and we see over here, holy, holy, holy. So quickly in Hebrews 12 and verse 7, powerful scripture here where the writer is speaking about God's discipline. He's speaking about fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the originator of our faith. He's the perfect one. He has done it for us. So let's be established in that grace that comes out of Jesus Christ, so that we can endure, we can run the race. And then he carries on, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and have you forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. God is the same God. And then he says, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as son. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true son. Then he carries on and he speaks about just submitting to that. Let me just get the scripture that I'm looking at here. Now, no discipline seems pleasant in the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been disciplined. And in the original, it doesn't really say it in a via via, but in the original, it speaks about don't fall short of the glory, of the grace of God. Be strengthened in the grace of God, because this discipline, this goodness of God, they use the word here for your good. This grace of God has a purpose. It's working within us to be able to produce righteousness, to be able to produce a holiness that we cannot do ourselves. And this is part of the working of grace as we look at when we start to see as other aspects of sanctification. So back into Revelation 5. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you are slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language, people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. And it carries on there, just a praise offering. Just to sum up, God, through His Son Jesus Christ, has redeemed us. We went through that teaching of redemption, of atonement. We went through a lot there, all the different aspects of atonement. And we saw over there with the power of the blood of Christ how He's released us, He's loosed us, how Jesus came into this world. He came into this reality where sin dominated in our lives. And He alone paid the price with His blood. We saw there how Jesus not only paid the price for our freedom, but also He then opened up the gates, and He also then has paid the price to take us to the Father, to take us out of that prison of sin, to set us free. We saw there also another word for that of redemption was that He has loosed us. So now not only have He paid the price, not only has He opened the gates and He has taken us out of that slavery of sin, but also the blood of Christ frees us totally from that power of sin. And that is what we're looking at now. Because of His blood, you and I have been set apart. We are holy people. So when we look at what God is doing in our lives, and but God, this is not nice, this is awkward, that's God's incredible grace. It's His provision to discipline us, to train us into holiness, so that more and more we start to experience within us this incredible working of God's grace, enabling us to become more and more just like Him. Be perfect as He is perfect on what Christ has done. We have our position of holiness already, but there's the growth, there's the journey that we are learning. You might be in the place, I just shared a little bit on Friday, you might be in the place where you've just realized that you've outgrown your current spiritual clothes, and God is stretching you a bit. You might be in the place where you've come to the place where you realize your answers, you realize your understanding, you realize your current anointing is not enough anymore. And that's all signs saying, yes, it's not enough. It's grace upon grace. There's more grace for you to receive and to grow more and become more fruitful. So it could be an uncomfortable place where you may be right now, because you just come to the end of yourself, basically. And you just realize it's not working anymore. God, thank you. Lead me into that grace. So your prayer life, you might be thinking, well, my prayer life is just not, it's not what it used to be. That's a sign. There's more. Okay? Whatever part of our lives, there's more. And that's the invitation to now be strengthened in God's grace, in His provision, in His Son Jesus. So give thanks. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank Him. And receive and allow the Holy Spirit to minister. Thank God that we're here to serve Him. And what a joy to be able to be free of, I'm here to serve myself. and to be in a place, God, you placed us as a body of Christ in this community to serve you. How do we serve you now in the next release on the more grace that you have given to us? How do we serve you? And this, please, won't you pray into it? Ask the Holy Spirit to direct. How do we serve God now in the higher level of grace that he's involved us in? Okay, let's not jump the gun, because many times we want to do something out of guilt or out of just feeling condemned. Many times we want to do something to make us satisfy, but that's short, because once we've done it, oh, now I'm happy. But it's the love of God that compels us. So we want to operate in the love. We want to operate in the grace that we have received, because that's enduring. That's empowering us. And we need understanding now as a church family. Amen.